Yom HaShoah is one of the heaviest days of the year, and it's a time to think about a lot of things. There's a lot of food for thought. It's interesting working with young people. The issue of anti-Semitism is something that it always is the other person who has a problem with anti-Semitism. I remember when I taught to the Haksharot groups from Europe, we spoke about anti-Semitism in Europe. They all said, well, that's Eastern Europe. We're from Western Europe. And then when anti-Semitism started in France, so the English said, well, that's France. They always had a problem with anti-Semitism. We're England. And then when anti-Semitism shifted into higher gear in England, the girls from America said, well, that's Europe. Europe always had a problem with anti-Semitism. But we're from America. And unfortunately, over the last year, with San Diego and Pittsburgh and Muncie, and now it's hard for people, even young people from America, hard for them not to deal with the issue of anti-Semitism. A lot of books have been written on it. Before we see what Rav Kook has to say, I want to ask if, once we're on Zoom together, if all of you, if anybody could suggest, I found on the internet 7 basic theories of what causes anti-Semitism. What would you say? The floor is open.
Hashem's way of reminding us that we're Jewish when we're not not in here in Eretz, and we tend to forget too much, so it's a built-in way of reminding us.
Oh, so that's a classic answer of an Israeli or somebody who's been here. Girls from Chutz La'aretz usually don't come up with that at all, but that's a very important point. Anti-Semitism is part of the klala; it's part of the curse. That's found bimfurash in Parshat Bechukotai. It's found in Parshat Kitavo that part of being in Galut is that there's going to be anti-Semitism. Okay, what else? Other theories. Why are Jews always hated? What?
They're jealous.
Oh, so Rivka adds something that ironically my father-in-law, when I asked him, he's a Holocaust survivor, I asked him how he explains the anti-Semitism. That's exactly what he said. He said the Jews were always very successful, and they were the haves as opposed to the Polish, who were the have-nots. And there's a matter of, just like in the 60s and early 70s in America, there was animosity between the blacks and the their teachers, who were Jewish, and the principals, who were Jewish, and the landlords who were Jewish. And so that's the second very common theory. Other explanations. Vakasha.
All societies are always looking for some kind of scapegoat to blame their troubles on. And the Jews are the most obvious because they stand out. They wear the business, they're very evil, and they dress, you know, women dress modestly. So they're the easiest one to point out.
Yeah, so I'm saving for a viewer for Yom HaShoah.
What was that? Somebody added something? Okay, anyway, yeah, Yudit mentioned Israeli 2 points. Number one, there's always a tendency to look for a scapegoat. And the other point is that the most common scapegoat is the minority. Whereas according to the Klal in sociology, that there's a dislike of the unlike. So if everybody is white, they don't like the blacks. And if everybody's black, they don't like the whites. And wherever there are Jews, so they don't like us because we're a minority. Okay, so that's 4 points. Other theories that you've heard or that you thought of? Chazal say, Halacha Esav Soned Yaakov. It's a halacha. And they're like a lot of halachot that we don't understand. That's the theory of Achad Ha'am. who, like a lot of writers, it's hard to know if he was being sarcastic or was serious. Achad Ha'am wrote that, why is it that wherever Jews go, we're hated? And everybody hates the Jews except the Jews. So maybe they're right. And he said, I started being an anti-Semite myself. And I started hating the Jews also, just like everybody else. And then came the Mendel Bayless blood libel, where in the modern world of the 20th century, here they found a Christian child, and who did they arrest? The first Jew that they caught, who was an Orthodox Jew. And Achad Ha'am says, that's when I realized that there's no logic in anti-Semitism. Because if an Orthodox Jew who would throw out an egg, if there's even one drop of blood in it, where did they get this idea that we put blood in our matzot? Like, anybody who's ever baked matzot knows that we don't put blood on the matzah. So you said, like, halacha is Samson et Yaakov. You just can't look for logic. Any other theories of why there is anti-Semitism for those who joined us just now? Yeah. Oh, so that's a continuation of what Ayala said, that that's part of Galut, and it's Davka, so that we shouldn't get too comfortable, right? The Meshech Chokhmah, that's in Parsha B'chukotai, I believe. Yeah, yeah, somebody mentioned that before. Okay, a certain type of that we're accused of being arrogant, they're chosen people, sort of, and that's something that Rav Kook is going to deal with. You know, what's the difference between what the Nazis, Lahavdil, called Aryan supremacy, right? We also say that that we're something special, okay? I'll just add another aspect that nobody mentioned, and that is the accumulative aspect. There's an idea that as we're eternal, eventually, inevitably, part of being eternal is that things accumulate. So just like Am Yisrael has had more chataim, more sins than any other nation, simply because we're around longer than any other nation, anti-Semitism is something which is just passed down from generation to generation, and it accumulates. And wherever Jews come to a new place, even if they've never met a Jew before in their life, they just know that Jews are something that everybody hates. They say Shakespeare, when the Merchant of Venice shows Shylock in negative terms, also Dickens draws, who is it, Fagin, right? I never realized, if you look back at pictures of Fagin or the movies of Oliver Twist, Fagin, who's the Ganov, he's the pickpocket, he's Jewish. And Shakespeare, maybe also Dickens, they never met a Jew in their life. The Jews were expelled from England before Shakespeare hit the scene. And so that's just part of what's called the accumulative effect. Rav Kook goes in another direction. Let's look together in source number one. Somebody wanted to add something? Okay. Okay. Here we go. Do you people see the source sheet?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Is it, like, partially covered?
Our people are listed in a vertical instead of in a box.
Oh, so...
You can push a vertical box, too.
How do I do that?
My whole line to the bottom. No, I'm fine.
Ah, there we go.
There
we go. Okay, but the single one just shows me. Okay. Okay, we'll manage this way. Rav Kook writes in Orot Yisrael, Perikei Piska Tedvav, in source number 1. Ad Tor HaGeula HaAtida, Hishpanu Al HaOlam Rak Limudei Chovot. That until the time of Geula, the future Geula, notice Rav Kook, he talks about that we are in Yemot HaMashiach in many places. But when he's talking about as the Geula process will mature, until then, Hishpanu al olam rak limudei chovot. Am Yisrael has just been milamed chovot to the world. Now this is a classic Rav Kook beautiful play on words, where limudei chovot really means two things. The simple meaning is that we brought obligations to the world. In the world of Hammurabi, where it says you're allowed to kill your wife, you're allowed to kill your slave, you're allowed to kill your children, you're allowed to kill people from other tribes, comes Avram Avinu, and afterwards even more explicit, Moshe Rabbeinu, with the idea of lo tirtzach, lo tinav, lo tignov, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. In other words, we brought chovot to the world. And as Rav Kook is going to say, nobody likes being told what to do. Now, even more so, primitive man does not like his conscience. And as Friedrich Nietzsche wrote, the Jews invented the conscience. Or in the words of Pascal, the Jews are the conscience of mankind. Which means that if part of being the chosen people is that we are meant to bring morality to the world, and we are meant to be the conscience of mankind, inevitably people don't like their conscience. In other words, Rav Kook is saying it's built in to our role as the chosen people that people don't like the Jews. Again, that's the first aspect of Limudei Chovot, that Am Yisrael teaches obligations to the world. There's another aspect. Did anybody catch what is Limudei Chovot? It's the opposite of Limud Zchut. Limud Zchut is when you give the other guy the benefit of the doubt, or you shed a positive light on the other person. Accordingly, when Rav Kook talks about Limud Chovot, he's telling us that Am Yisrael makes the world look bad. Because the Jews always had a lot less crime, a lot less murder, a lot less theft. And if so, Rav Kook is saying that not only have the Jews shown what the world should do, but they also showed the world that it could be done. Do you all see the difference? And Rav Kook is ingeniously weaving both aspects into this phrase of Limud Chovot. Am Yisrael showed the world what they should be doing. It also showed the world that it can be done. And that sheds a bad light and is Milamed Chovot on the non-Jews. And that's, according to Rav Kook, why they don't like us. Musar v'tzedek ha'yotze midat Elohim emet. The morality and right justice that comes out of monotheism. This is something that we've discussed in the past. We won't go through it again. But inevitably, in paganism, where the gods are violent, imitatio dei, man is going to also be violent. He can justify also being violent. The same thing, if the gods are lacking, by definition, there are a lot of gods, that means each god is lacking something. So the gods, in primitive man's eyes, the gods are takers. And if the gods are takers, imitatio dei, man can imitate those gods, a man can also be a taker. Comes Avram Avinu and says, no, there is one god who doesn't fight with anybody, and that is the god that we emulate. And there is this one god who doesn't take anything because he's perfect. So what does he do all day? He's a giver. And that's the god that we emulate. In other words, only after the first five commandments came down at Har Sinai could Hashem command the second five commandments. Only after there's Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yeh lecha Elohim acharim, there's one god, monotheism, Could God bring morality to the world? And that's what Nietzsche says, that why he doesn't like the Jewish people, because the Jews invented the conscience, and according to Nietzsche and Hitler, Yimach Shemo, it's an artificial invention of the Jewish people. Continues Rav Kook, V'chovot ein olam chafetz lekabel. The world does not want to... how do I turn this off? Yeah. The world does not like to accept obligations. It's a lot more fun to be primitive and just do whatever you feel like, without all these do's and don'ts. And even if the goyim eventually do accept the morality of the Torah, nishar b'lev tina, they harbor They harbor a grudge al me'orer harashi liyidiat hachova. Again, even if you agree that your conscience is right, I shouldn't be talking lashon hara. We don't like our conscience. And not only that, she'ena notenet lenefesh habarbarit litpashet b'chol mavayah. Man, nichalei linish, the Chazal say that primitive man, he prefers living a life of hefker. Does that mean that there is no hope for anti-Semitism? That there's always going to be anti-Semitism and there's no solution? Don't worry, Rav Kook is always optimistic. And he says that every believing person who believes in God has to be optimistic. There's a direction of the world. And he says, not to worry, aval bivo hator shel or ha'olam lihigalot. When the time will come, for the day, for the time of the light of the world, the light of Torah, will shine in the world, yivada ha'olam, the world will then know, shedarkei ha'chayim shel ha'oneg amiti, anachnu mashpi'im ba'olam, that we have brought the greatest pleasure to the world. The greatest pleasure to the world is monotheism and morality, which go together. And if so, everybody likes to get gifts, and everybody eventually, as Rav Kook always writes, the mankind is constantly undergoing evolution and maturing. Eventually, the world will mature and will appreciate morality and appreciate those that brought morality. It's sort of like I once told you, my children, like most children, used to have this fear of dentists. No offense to the dentists involved here, and or their wives. And he once came into our room in the middle of the night saying he had a nightmare. He didn't say it had a nightmare. He said, my dentist came into my room. In other words, he had a nightmare about his dentist. And only as a child matures does he realize that the dentist is for his own good. The dentist is on his side. Okay? Everybody likes the candy man when they're kids because he gives out candy at chill. And people benefit from that. But when they get older, they realize that the dentist who solves the problem that the candy man created, the dentist is also on his side. And Rav Kook says, eventually, Am Yisrael, the world will mature, and they will grow out of their anti-Semitism and realize that the greatest gift, what is V'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama? Hashem tells Avram, the whole world will be blessed because of you, ubezarecha, and your children. What's the greatest blessing? Morality. Et osher ha'chayim anoten lo et erko, the happiness of life, and that which gives life its meaning, its worth, is the morality and monotheism that we brought to the world. Asher mibiladohu shalul kol erech. Without monotheism and morality, mankind is just like animals. Ve'oneg ve'osher zeu davar ha'shaveh lakol. Rav Kook now points out, everybody enjoys pleasure. Al kol panim lachshok bo. Everybody at least looks forward to pleasure. Ve'ta makora mashpia Osher Va'onig Mechabdim U'Mechabavim. And not only do we enjoy pleasure, we also enjoy those who brought us pleasure. Everybody remembers when you were kids that kids always want autographs from the athletes or the movie stars. Why do kids want autographs? I remember one time in Pesach, I still remember it was Pesach, we promised the kids for the Afikoman that we'd take them to a professional basketball game. And I didn't realize how much Maccabi Tel Aviv tickets cost. And then I thought of, we don't have to go see Maccabi Tel Aviv. We'll see one of these out-of-town teams. There's a town called, if anybody wants to take their kids to a professional basketball game, there's a Hapoel Galil Elyon. They play in Mali Gilboa. They're willing to pay you to come to the game. They give out tickets for free. Very cheap. Anyway, so we took the whole family. And at the end of the game, that's how I remember it was Pesach. What happens in Baruch Hashem in Medinat Yisrael at the end of every game? The men go and daven Maariv. And my wife was left with six or seven kids who are kvetching that they don't want to eat matzah sandwiches anymore. And I went to daven Maariv. And by the time I came back from Maariv, the kids were still kvetching that they don't want to eat matzah sandwiches anymore. And we were the last people left in the parking lot. And the basketball players, they start coming out of the dressing room. And I told my boys, I say, you see those big guys? Those are the guys who played. They're the professional players. Why don't you go and ask them for their autograph? And they went and they had... Why do children get excited about autographs? Because they associate the pleasure that they receive from this movie star or this athlete or this musician, they associate the pleasure with the person who brings them pleasure. That's exactly what Rav Kook is saying. That v'tamakora mashpia osher v'onig mechabdim u'mechabim. That's the way of the world. Normal, mature people, not only do they enjoy the benefit, they will not only say thank you, but they will honor the person who brought them pleasure. V'al ken yachziku asara anashim mikol lishonot agoyim b'chnaf ish yehudi. Rav Kook explains the pasuk in Zechariah, Perikhet, that says that in the end of days, the goyim will accompany Jews. Every Jew will be accompanied by 10 chasidim, 10 goyim, who will want to help us. Now, in the meantime, I'm sure all of us don't need goyim to help us. We would manage fine just to have the goyim leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Don't say thank you. Don't recognize us. Rav Kook is telling us, though, the day will come that the goyim will recognize the Jewish people and that we brought the greatest pleasure to mankind. To summarize, where Rav Kook is adding a seventh reason to anti-Semitism that really is connected with some of the other that we mentioned before, that it's built in to be part of the chosen people is that people don't like us because we are the conscience of mankind. Rav Kook says not to worry. Eventually the world will grow out of it. I don't know about you, but I still have difficulty believing that there is a president in the White House that loves Jews and loves the land of and the state of Israel probably more than most Jews in the world. And there are a lot of evangelists and a lot of goyim who are already matured. I wouldn't even be surprised if most of the world today, most of the modern world, probably likes the Jewish people. If it's not most, we're on the way. And thank God it's not like it used to be. It's definitely connected with the fact that we have a state of Israel and an army. And we have to return to living as an Orla Goyim. Anyway, our first part is up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send the ID number again to everyone. Just put in the ID number and you'll get back in for the continuation of the shiur.